Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, March 1st, 2022, Psalms.
All right. You didn't expect to see me again, did you? Ha-ha! First thing first, happy birthday to Jeff Uggen of the Huggin' Uggins. It's his birthday today. I asked him how old he was and he lied. No, I said he was 17. It's the only father I know that's younger than his daughter. Well, believe me, it's you just do not understand how great it is for my soul to be here teaching you. And if you want to know, I'm lousy when it comes to being not well. Just ask my wife. And I've learned something. Women are a lot tougher with pain, physical pain, than men are. What are you laughing so loud for? Well, we are going to be back. We're going to go back to Psalm 25. So let's turn to Psalm 25. Now, I had my pre-op today and haven't got word negatively that I flunked anything. I flunked everything last time. So it looks like we'll go in Thursday and have this thing operated on, surgery. So when that happens, there'll be a little bit of downtime, and it pisses me off, but it has to be that way. So I'll be back, unless the Lord says come home to heaven. And that's always a possibility on this thing. Deb and I had to watch a video of all the things that could go wrong. 32 minutes of everything that could go wrong. I haven't seen anything about it of what could go right. So, anyway, well, that's all a lot of fun, because that just means that I'm not in charge. God is. And everything we've been studying in this church, and all the different books, and Psalm 25 is one of the key psalms we've been studying. It's the reality. What is the key? God is perfect. His plans are perfect. His decisions are perfect. His timing is perfect. I am a man. I'm imperfect. Now my timing is I want to be back here the next day. But I'm an imperfect man. God is perfect. His timing is perfect. And so I operate on the timing of God. God is infinitely fair. And God is a God of grace and truth. And the believer in spiritual adulthood knows that God is a God of grace and truth. And that's a key part of Psalm 25. Now, SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer, giving you the privacy of your priesthood, the opportunity to examine your own soul. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, Rebound is the order of the day, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. All that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word. That spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Romans 1 effect. Hal Lindsey. Vladimir Putin lies. He looks his opponent straight in the face and lies. And he's good at it. He says that he must invade Ukraine because NATO refuses to rule out the possibility of one day admitting Ukraine. But he knows that no one joins NATO without the unanimous consent of all existing members. And he knows that France and Germany flatly refuse to allow Ukraine to join. And several others have expressed strong reservations. And he knows there is no immediate possibility of Ukraine joining NATO. Some suggest appeasement. They say NATO should have gone against its own bylaws and officially announced that it would never admit Ukraine. But when someone uses a pretext as an excuse, removing the pretext only means the creation of another excuse. For instance, there is Putin's silly lie that with over 150,000 Russian troops on its doorstep, Ukraine decided to begin a series of atrocities against Russians living in Ukraine. That is absolute total bullshit. When someone is willing to lie that boldly, he can always concoct a new pretext. Others have said that what happens in Ukraine should not concern Americans. These people either do not personally visit gas stations, or they don't understand the recent jump in fuel prices. Over the next weeks and months, the connection will probably be made plain to everyone Everyone who drives a car, heats a home, or pays an electric bill. But Putin's actions in Ukraine are much, much bigger than a series of price increases. They threaten your savings, your investments. They threaten your livelihood. More than that, they endanger your life and the lives of those you love. Russia may have the most advanced cyber attack teams in the world. Such attacks threaten electricity, water, and food. Russia also holds the world's largest nuclear arsenal. And Putin's threat to use it suddenly seemed credible. A few days ago, New York Magazine ran a headline that asked publicly what people have been asking privately for months. Is Putin sane? The New York Times recently noted that Putin has fundamentally changed amid the pandemic. They say the shift seems to have left him more paranoid, more aggrieved, and more reckless. People who speak with him regularly, including the president of Finland, say that he is not the same man. What happened? Romans chapter 1 happened. Putin suppressed the truth in unrighteousness, verse 18. He exchanged the truth of God for a lie, verse 25. He did not see fit to acknowledge God, verse 28. And therefore God gave him over to a depraved mind, verse 28. A depraved mind, or as the King James Version says, a reprobate mind, means in part a mind that can no longer think in its own best interest. The Romans 1 effect is not confined to Putin. The things that brought on his change are widespread among most of the world leaders. And not just political leaders, but also leaders in entertainment, education, religion, and business. How does a nation survive in such a world? Through virtue and strength, Proverbs 14:34. Remembering that corruption begets weakness, and weakness invites aggression. How do individuals survive in such a world? By turning to God the Father through Jesus Christ. We don't have to be alone. We can walk hand in hand with the God who brought the universe into existence with the power of His Word. These times prove again the reliability of the Bible. We were never promised that life during end time events would be easy. But the same God who told us about these things thousands of years in advance also promises to keep and protect those who have placed themselves in His hands. Remember the wisdom of 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Psalm 25. Well, it's been a while since we've been in Psalm 25. Better read you into the picture. Do you know what kind of a psalm it is? Right, an acrostic psalm. What is an acrostic psalm? Alphabetical psalm. Not ABC, but Hebrew alphabet. Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zion, Keth, Teth, Yod, Kaf, Lamath, Moon. That's it. So we start out in verse 1, the Aleph file. To you, O Lord, prayers always addressed to God the Father, I lift up my soul in prayer. And for the winner believer, your prayers are powerful and effective and accomplish much. And this ministry and this Upland Bible Church has the greatest prayer warriors ever. And the extended church goes all over America and other continents. And I know that you, from your virtue love that you've developed, your personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. That means you can pray for our president, even though you don't agree with him on anything he does. You can pray for the leaders in our government, because you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You're occupied with Jesus Christ. And so you have in your soul, He's made Himself at home in your soul. You share His happiness. And for you, going to the Father in prayer is the most wonderful thing ever. And there are so many things that are going wrong from human viewpoint in the world. So much evil in the world. And it's only going to get worse. But what you are doing tonight and what we have presented to us is absolute truth in the Word of God in Psalm 25 is the key. It's the key for you and your soul and your life. It's the key for America. God vindicates His Word wherever it resides. Wherever God's Word resides, He vindicates it. When it resides in your heart, God will vindicate His Word in your heart. And the result is historical impact. The greatest thing you can do for America is what you're doing right now. Your spiritual growth, your growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. It's the greatest thing you can do for your country. For your family, for your marriage. To you, O Lord God the Father, I lift up my soul in prayer. Beth file, verse 2. In you I trust. This is faith rest. I pick up my troubles and problems and slam them on you, O my God. Do not let me become confused, and do not let my enemies rejoice in military triumph over me. The Gimel file, verse 3. Indeed, all of those who wait for you, that is, who have maximum confidence in you, living the faith rest life, they will not be put to shame or confused. However, The ones who act treacherously and deceitfully without cause, because they are empty of doctrine, empty of grace and truth, they will be put to shame and confused. Dolophile, verse 4. Cause me to know your ways, O Lord. Intensively teach me your paths. And then in verse 5, the hay and vav file. Guide me. Guide me by means of your truth. And intensively teach me, because you are the God of my deliverance, my rescue, my safety. All day long I have confidence in you. Maximum faith, rest, life. Zion file, verse 6. Remember your compassions, O Lord, and your grace, because they are from eternity past. Kath file, verse 7. Do not remember the sins of my early life, nor my rebellion, living in the cosmic system of interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. According to the norms and standards of your grace, you remember me, protect me, deliver me, for the purpose of your good, O Lord. Then the Tath file, verse 8. Good and just is the Lord, and therefore he teaches sinners in his ways. Yod file. He guides the humble in what is right, and he intensively teaches and trains the humble his ways. And then the calf file, and we just got partway into the calf file. All the ways of the Lord, literally, there's no verb here. It says, all the ways of the Lord, grace and truth. That is one of the most powerful statements in the Word of God. If this ever becomes reality, that is maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation in your soul, why, your whole life will be turned around. All the ways of the Lord, grace and truth. There is a living and true God. God has revealed himself to mankind through the God-breathed scriptures and the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. The greatest miracle that the world will ever know, that very first Christmas. And God has a plan for your life. If God reveals himself, then he also reveals the plan that he has for your life. And God's plan is based on God's policy. And God's policy is always grace. The grace of God for the human race is divided into three categories: pre-salvation grace, salvation grace, post-salvation grace. Pre-salvation grace, that's operation grace, the cross. God the Father's plan for salvation. This is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, being judged for our sins as our substitute. Pre-salvation grace includes common grace, which I like to call amazing grace, extraordinary grace. Divine call, the divine invitation for you to believe. God invites you to believe in Christ. You don't invite him anywhere. Efficacious grace, God the Holy Spirit making your faith in Christ effective for eternal salvation. All of that is pre-salvation grace. The divine call. God invites you. You don't invite him. The second category of the grace of God for the human race is salvation grace. And that includes the 40 things that God gives to every church age believer at the moment of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The third category of the grace of God is for all those who believe in Jesus Christ. Post-salvation grace. Post-salvation grace includes logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world, giving you the opportunity to make good decisions, to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and advance to spiritual maturity. And when you attain spiritual maturity, this post-salvation grace includes greater grace blessings, greater grace blessings for time. James 4:6. And those greater grace blessings for time include amazing spiritual blessings and temporal blessings and blessing by association and historical impact and suffering for blessing and dying grace blessing. And we're going to study suffering for blessing in a way we've never studied it before on Sundays. When we get to Romans chapter 5, one of the great passages. I've read it many times. I've never exegeted it. I have now. Holy guacamole. It is one of the most powerful passages, and the words there in the Greek are amazing. Suffering for blessing. And that's, by the way, suffering for, it's a blessing only for believers in spiritual adulthood. Not for reversionists, not for those living in the cosmic system, not for baby believers, not for adolescent believers. That's why most Christians will never know what suffering for blessing is. But the winner believer will. You know, you look at the great believers. Well, the greatest believer, Apostle Paul, Moses. They had a lot of suffering. How would you like to be the leader of 2 million reversionists? That's about the worst suffering I can think of. And they all, you led them out of slavery to a land promised by God, and they want to go back. And then they tell you, you're trying to kill him. Well, he probably would like to. He didn't. They all died the sin unto death in the wilderness. None of them entered the land. Their children did, but they didn't. And then the Apostle Paul, he is without a doubt the toughest human being who ever lived. He went through more pain and suffering than any human being ever has gone through. And you know what he called that suffering for blessing, that pain? He called it momentary light affliction. What? Well, take a look at what that momentary light affliction was. It was pain on pain on pain. He was taken, whips were taken to him. He was flogged again and again and again. With 40 lashes from a whip over and over. He was beaten. He was stoned to death. He was sea wrecked. He had suffering from every way possible. He had no clothes. Well, he didn't go around naked. He had no food. He was in danger everywhere he went. But he was qualified for suffering for blessing because he was a spiritually mature believer. God, the only ones who are privileged and honored to receive suffering for blessing are winner believers. And then, of course, dying grace blessing. But we'll study that in detail in Romans chapter 5. Grace is the means of conveying the power of God to the life of the ordinary believer. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Love this verse. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking. 1 Corinthians 15, 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Not because of... And Paul was a genius, probably the greatest human genius of all time. He doesn't... That's not anything he even thinks about. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Grace is the means of conveying the power of God to the life of the ordinary believer. This grace will continue in the eternal state, Ephesians 2:7. The consistency of God's grace policy: we are saved by grace and advanced to spiritual maturity by grace. There is no legalism in salvation. Salvation is by grace. There's no legalism in the spiritual life. Spirituality is by grace. Sooner or later, God takes every believer and brings them to the end of their human resources, making them totally dependent on the grace and the power of God. Grace is all that God is free to do for mankind without compromising His divine essence. Grace is free, unmerited favor, kindness, mercy, love from God and from God alone, not from our works. Grace emphasizes who and what God is, not who and what we are. 2 Thessalonians 1:12, 2 Timothy 2:1. We are commanded to stand fast in the true grace of God, 1 Peter 5:12. We are commanded to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. All the ways of the Lord, grace and truth. Grace is the policy of God, and truth is the revelation of divine policy in the God-breathed scriptures. God's truth exists categorically in three parts: the laws of divine establishment for the whole human race, believers and unbelievers alike; the gospel truth for unbelievers; doctrinal truth for believers. Now, man can say that he speaks the truth from time to time, but only God can say, I am the truth. John 14:6. God does not acquire truth. He is the truth from all eternity past. God is the truth in His very essence. And the Word of God is absolute truth, which advances the believer to spiritual maturity. John 17:17. Where Jesus said, sanctify them by means of the truth, aletheia. Thy word is aletheia, absolute truth. Rejection of divine truth builds scar tissue on your heart. The arrogant reject the truth of God's word, and as a result, they believe the lie. God is the source of all truth, and His truth is absolute, perfect, and infinite. There never was a time when God was untrue. God is consistent with Himself, and therefore everything He does is true. The character of God is in view when He is called the God of truth. By the truth of God, we mean that God's knowledge and declarations and representations eternally conform to reality. The veracity of God is the foundation of all truth. And then that brought us to a summary, and we were in the process of studying that summary. All the ways of the Lord, grace and truth. In that summary, we covered 6 points. Point one, the plan of God is grace and truth. Our verse, Psalm 25:10. Since God is truth, John 14:6, so also the word of God is truth, John 17:17. Three, the gospel is the message of truth that can lead the unbeliever to eternal salvation, Ephesians 1:13 and 14. Four, faithful communicators of the word of God proclaim the truth, 1 Kings 17:24. Five, Satan attacks the veracity of God by denying the absolute truth of the word of God. Well, we see that all around us today. It's the times in which we live. Modern liberalism and philosophy declare that there is no absolute truth. The veracity of God guarantees that the Word of God is absolute truth, that it is inerrant, inspired, and the sole authority for faith and doctrine and practice. Believers in Christian degeneracy living in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system reject the Bible. They reject the Bible as the sole authority for faith and doctrine and practice. And as a result, they operate by false system. They operate by lies. They the distortions of truth. False doctrine is the result when believers reject the Bible as the absolute truth and the absolute authority for their lives. And when you reject the truth of God's Word, you will believe the lie. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 to 12. Point six, God is truth, and therefore God honors truth resident in our hearts. God honors His Word wherever it is found. God honors metabolized doctrine in the heart of the believer. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart of the believer results in maturity adjustment to the justice of God. As a matter of God's veracity, spiritual growth can only be achieved by consistent and faithful metabolization of the absolute truth of God's Word. Since God honors His Word in the souls of the pivot of spiritually mature believers, this is the only thing that will deliver our nation from the fifth cycle of discipline. Make sure you understand that. Since God honors His Word in the souls of the pivot of mature believers, this is the only thing that will deliver our nation from the fifth cycle of discipline. God faithfully provides logistical grace support so that positive believers can consistently and faithfully get the absolute truth of Bible doctrine into their hearts, no matter what the historical situation happens to be. Even in a period of national decline and apostasy, as in America right now, we are in national decline and apostasy. God vindicates His Word in our hearts, and He faithfully takes care of us. Even death cannot touch the believer until God is ready to take him home. And when God is ready to take you home, nothing's going to keep you here. No doctor's going to keep you here. Vitamins aren't going to keep you here. For some of you, beer's not going to keep you here. The veracity of God not only guarantees protection of the believer in disaster, but one of the great blessings to the spiritually mature believer is historical impact. The believer with maximum Bible doctrine in his heart is like an atlas supporting the world, whether it is realized by those around him or not. And there are people that come in here, by the way, who don't realize it. That the only reason, the only hope for this nation is the pivot of mature believers. That's it. Period. That is the only hope for America. That brings us to point 7. Point 7, ramifications of the veracity, the absolute truth of God. Ramifications of the veracity or the absolute truth of God. 1, the promises, the principles, and the doctrines of God's Word are absolute truth, and they will be fulfilled. And I'm going to go to Psalm 25. Who is the human author? Remember the Psalm 25? Le David, the Lama of authorship. David is the human author of Psalm 25. So let's take a look. David, by the way, as he writes Psalm 25, he's out in the desert south of Jerusalem. His own son Absalom started a revolution. Many of the people in the nation followed Absalom in that revolution. One of David's top men in his cabinet, Ahithophel, joined the revolution, because Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba, and Ahithophel wanted to kill David for killing Bathsheba's husband and committing adultery with her. So Ahithophel wanted to kill David. So he joined Absalom's revolution. And by the way, Ahithophel was a genius. He actually had the best plan for defeating David. But David had one of his moles set in who countered that. And of course, Absalom wound up dying the sin unto death. Ahithophel wound up dying the sin unto death. Now, David was wrong, and he talks about that in Psalm 25. He talks about his living in the cosmic system. He knows the horrible failures. He knows that he should have died the sin unto death. He knows that. He knows that God could have taken him out the sin unto death. But he's still alive. He rebounded, got back in fellowship with God, and he's been writing out the installment discipline that God gave to him. He's been writing it out, and as he's writing it out, he's growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. He's developing a greater and greater love for Christ. And God, in his magnificent grace and plan, will deliver David from the Absalom revolution. Not only will he be delivered, he will be restored as king. And when he's restored as king, he will have greater blessings than he ever had before. Ever had before. Well, David is the one we're going to go. Turn to 2 Samuel 7. And this is a great passage, 2 Samuel 7, verses 18 to 29. David is expressing his great soul love for God the Father and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you get down to verse 25, "And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant, David." You see, he gave an unconditional covenant to David, the Davidic covenant. "And keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. And then men will say, 'The Lord Almighty is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you.' O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, 'I will build a house for you, a dynasty for you.' So your servant has found courage to offer you this prayer. O Sovereign Lord, you are God, and your words are emet in the Hebrew." Aleph, E-M-E-T, emet. Your words are truth. Trustworthy, emet. Emet means absolute truth. Your words are absolute truth. Faithful, truth, trustworthy. "And you have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, O Sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing the house of your servant will be blessed forever." And of course it is. For the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, in his true humanity, is the Son of David. 2. God cannot be false to any of his word. God cannot be false to any of his word. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. God cannot be false to any of his word. Romans 3, verse 3, "What if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you are maligned." Turn over to 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verse 20. 1 John 5, verse 20. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the true God and eternal life. God cannot be false to any of His word. 3. God's unconditional covenants to Israel are absolute truth, and they will be fulfilled. the Abrahamic covenant, the Palestinian covenant, the Davidic covenant, the New Covenant. They're all absolute truth. They will be fulfilled. God has a plan for Israel. The whole world hates Israel. Right now, the world hates Israel. The Democrats hate Israel. The liberals hate Israel. They want to blame Israel for everything. They are God's people. God has made four unconditional covenants. Jesus Christ is the Son of David. He is coming back and will fulfill every unconditional covenant. And Israel will become the center, the capital of the whole world. Jesus Christ will rule the world from Israel. And the world will be blessed by association with Israel. The world blessed by association with Israel now. All kinds of ways they're blessed by association with Israel. Four, every promise to the believer in the church age is absolute truth. Every promise to the believer in the church age is absolute truth. Five, what God says in His Word, He is able to do. His veracity is related to His omnipotence. He is the all-powerful God. What God says in His Word, He has done, He has done, is doing, and will do. Veracity means you can totally depend on God. God not only is the truth, but He is immutable. So His truth never changes. He is omnipotent, which means that God is able to do what He says. And therefore, a principle, the veracity of God, plus the immutability of God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, plus the omnipotence of God, He is all-powerful, equals the dependability and faithfulness of God. Therefore, the veracity of God plus the immutability of God plus the omnipotence of God equals the dependability and faithfulness of God. Again, this great and powerful passage in the CAF file, Psalm 25:10. All the ways of the Lord, grace and truth. And then he goes on in the verse and says, unto such as keep His covenant and testimonies. We have the cal infinitive construct of the verb natser, plus the noun berith with the third person singular masculine suffix, plus the conjunction vav, prefix to the plural noun ada, with the third person singular masculine suffix. We have a verb here, natser, very important. That's N-A-T-S-A-R, natser. Natser means to, first of all, point one, it means to watch. It means to guard. It means to preserve. To watch, to guard, to preserve. Two, it was used of watching or guarding people's property, such as the agricultural fields. They would put watchtowers out and watch and guard the field. Three, it was used of God guarding the believer from dangers, putting a wall of fire around the believer. We saw this with Jim Myers and his wife Phyllis in their evacuation from the Ukraine. We saw this with Robbie Dean, his evacuation from the Ukraine. And those other people that I mentioned, the Jewish lady who, she was evacuated. She spent I think she had to spend 40 hours in sub-freezing temperatures before she made it out of Ukraine. But she did. God delivered all of them, had a wall of fire around that lady, the Myers, Robbie Dean. And I hope that on your heart you're praying for, there are a lot of Christians still in the Ukraine praying, and you have this fantastic principle of the Bible doctrine right here. It was used of God guarding the believer from dangers, a wall of fire of protection. Four, it's used in our verse of winter believers. Psalm 25:10. It's used in our verse of winter believers, faithfully guarding, faithfully keeping, faithfully observing the absolute truth of God's Word. And that's only true of winter believers. Five, the winter believer in the age of Israel faithfully guarded, kept, and observed two things given here, Berith and Adah. The first thing the winter believer guards is Berith. That's B, Shiva, R, long I-T-H. Berith. Berith means covenant, and it refers to the Mosaic Law, which was the first constitution to a client nation to God. The Mosaic Law was the first constitution of the first client nation in human history. And the Mosaic Law gives the divine policy for client nation Israel. David understood this. David understood it as he writes Psalm 25:10. David understood the law. He understood every part of the law. He believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior because of the Mosaic Law. The greatest tool of evangelism in the ancient world was the Mosaic Law. Codex number one, the commandments, defined sin and our need for a Savior. David recognized that. The Mosaic Law, Codex number one, commandments, taught the importance that we're all sinners and we need a Savior, as well as defining freedom. Then Codex number two, the spiritual code, the ordinances. The ordinances present the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior. And David saw that and he believed in Christ. Where did he learn it? From the Mosaic Law. All throughout the law. The Ark of the Covenant is a shadow portraying Christ. The Ark of the Covenant is Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union, bearing the sins of the world with a mercy seat that the high priest brought in blood from an animal that they sacrificed, cut his throat, and bled all out. And they took the blood and went in and sprinkled it on the mercy seat with the cherubim looking down, representing the holiness of God, his righteousness and justice. The Ark of the Covenant was made out of wood, the true humanity of Christ, covered with gold, the deity of Jesus Christ. Inside were articles of sin, representing the sins of the world imputed to Christ. And then the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat, which propitiated the righteousness and justice of God. Just in the Ark of the Covenant. And then there were all the Levitical offerings. We're going to be studying that when we get out of Psalm 25 and get into the next book. So we'll start a lottery. What's going to be the next book I'm going to teach? Put up $100 each one of you. Just kidding. And we'll study Levitical offerings. Levitical offerings proclaim Jesus Christ and his salvation work on the cross. They were all shadows of Jesus Christ and the Messiah, the Anointed One, and His salvation work on the cross. And for those who had positive volition at God consciousness and positive volition at gospel hearing, they believed in Christ. Where did they learn it? From the Mosaic Law. In Codex number 3, the judgment with all of the establishment truth. David understood all that. That's how a nation is operating. That's how the Jewish nation is operating. That's how the United States of America is to operate. Establishment truth. So that's bereath. And the second thing the winner believer guards. See, the winner believer, David guards the covenant, the Mosaic Law, in Codex number 1 and 2 and 3. Second thing the winner believer guards is Ada. I-N-E-D-A-H. Ada. One, Ada means testimonies or precepts. Testimonies or precepts. Two, it refers to the doctrines of the Word of God. Three, these are divine testimonies and solemn charges presented in the Word of God. Divine testimonies and solemn charges presented in the Word of God. So four, those who faithfully guard and keep and preserve His covenant and His doctrines are the spiritually mature believers in the client nation to God. Those who faithfully guard and keep and preserve His covenant and His doctrines are the spiritually mature believers in the client nation to God. Five, as goes the pivot of spiritually mature believers, so goes the client nation to God. As goes the pivot of spiritually mature believers, so goes the client nation to God. Six, a large pivot, great blessing. A small pivot, the five cycles of national discipline. A large pivot, grace blessing. A small pivot, the five cycles of national discipline. Seven, the nation in the hand of God. You see, this is the CAF file, which is a... looks like that. Hollow of the hand. The nation in the hand of God follows the policy of grace and truth. The nation in the hand of God follows the policy of grace and truth. Psalm 25:10, one of the most powerful verses. And written by the greatest king in Israel's history. The corrected translation, all the ways of the Lord, grace and truth for the ones who faithfully keep His covenant, the demands of the Mosaic Law, and His doctrines, solemn charges and mandates of the Word of God. All the ways of the Lord, grace and truth for the ones who faithfully keep His covenant and His doctrines, the solemn charges and mandates of the Word of God. All right, that read you back into the picture. Okay. With our heads bowed. Father, we're always amazed at Your grace to us. Thank You for the privilege of fellowshipping in Your Word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.